This is an oral history with Susan Suggs in October 2008 at her home near Beaufort, North Carolina. I'd like to start off with our first standard question. Tell me a little bit about where you're from.
I'm from Wake County, just outside of Raleigh in North Carolina. I grew up on Trailwood Drive, which is a really nice area. Most of the people that lived on the road, most of the husbands worked at NC State, so I grew up really close to NC State.
So how did you get interested in landscape architecture?
I always was interested in design, and I thought I was interested in urban design because I'd heard of that. I hadn't heard of landscape architecture, but it's just something I was always interested in, exterior spaces, how things are put together. I have an essay from about the fourth grade where I talk about what I want to be when I grow up, and I describe landscape architecture even though I didn't call it by that.
Were you drawing at an early age?
Was I drawing?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, a little bit, sure. I always had sketchbook.
Mm-hmm. So this was something that you looked forward to for a long time.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so you picked NC State to go to school.
I went to NC State because it was the in-state place where you could go and study design. And I felt very fortunate to be able to go there.
Who were some of the students in school with you?
Meg Holton was one of my... She was in the class with me. Nan Boggs was. Scott Ross was. Those are some of the people that I was in school with.
And they've gone on to be landscape architects in their own right.
Actually, Meg became an engineer. Scott got a degree in architecture and then got a degree in urban planning, and he works as a landscape architect.
Wow. So, do you recall any of the projects you worked on when you were a student?
Yeah. And I think, you know, one aspect of these projects was a lot of model building. And that was where I was always challenged because I wasn't real adept in the shop with the model building aspect. But I did work on a lot of interesting projects, and especially some of the projects that I worked on in my basic design classes where, you know, you're really stretched to, your brain is stretched.
What do you remember, like, were they projects on campus or projects around town?
One of the first projects that I worked on was to retrofit some low-income housing and to look at it and try to make it better. And that was an interesting project that the whole studio looked at. So some of them were public. Another project, my second year, we worked at an elementary school. We worked with the faculty and students, did that interactive thing, and ended up designing a playground and actually building some of the playground equipment.
Oh, wow. So there were projects that you worked on as a student that definitely were like of the real-life type.
There were some that were like that, and then there were some that were more just academic.
Well, after you graduated from State, which was in what year?
I graduated in 76.
And after you graduated, you went to work for?
My first job after school was being a planner for the town of Greenville. If you remember, 1976 was not real good economic times. And when I was in school, I worked for Jeffrey McLean, and it just seemed like it would be a better thing to do to go into the public sector for a while. So I worked there for 2 years, and then after that I came back into the private sector.
So when did you work for Lewis Clark Associates?
I worked for Lewis a little bit summer of 78, and then I worked for Jeffrey for a year, and then I worked for Lewis for 2 years, I guess starting early in 79 through about 81.
What were some of the projects you were working on in his office?
I worked on a big variety of projects while I was there. I did some high-end residential. I did two industrial sites.
Do you remember the names of them?
I did an industrial site that was outside of Wendell. That was it's a German company that, and then I did another one outside of Oxford, and it was like Max Factor, and then I think it became Revlon. So I did those two industrial sites. I worked some on some master planning and some site design at Elon College. I did some residential work. I did a little bit of subdivision work. Just a big, really big variety of things.
So the office had a variety of jobs. It wasn't focusing on any one particular type of job at the time?
Not really. Mm-hmm.
Well, there was an airplane involved with this company. As I understand, they had an airplane. Did you ever fly on the plane?
No, the airplane was a little bit before my time.
Was it?
Yeah, so I didn't fly on the airplane.
But you heard about it.
Yeah, I knew about it.
Was it unusual for women to be landscape architects at this time?
There were a few women that were landscape architects, but it was mostly a male domain then. Linda Jewell was a landscape architect who was local. There really weren't a lot of women that were landscape architects in the mid-70s. And there weren't a lot of women in design school when I started, but it changed while I was there. It opened up, which was good.
What do you think, how do you attribute something, that factor that made that opened up the school to more women?
Well, I really think it was a trend, because I remember how my brother's 4 years older than me, and his wife wanted to go to UNC Chapel Hill, and she couldn't get in, and then by the time she was a senior, she could get in. So I think it was like one of those trends that was evolving where they were trying to have it more equal as far as admitting women to different schools.
Do you have any other projects that you can think of that you'd like to comment on?
Let me think a minute. It was so long ago.
I know.
We had one project where we took two like designers, like a designer and an artist, and then we did like a project on them and tried to understand how they thought and everything. And at the end of the project, we were supposed to design different things as these people would design them. And so we had to design a mailbox and a chair. And the person that I had picked was Bernini, who's a sculptor, classical sculptor. And there again, the challenge, I could design, but then actually having to build the thing, I had to weld and all this other kind of thing.
Oh my goodness.
So it was pretty wild. But it was really neat to see what everybody came up with. There were some really creative things from the studio.
Well, I guess what I'm
getting... And I guess that was one of the things in design school, you know, just seeing what other people come up with.
Right.
Was part of the fun.
They didn't give projects that were cut and dried then. They gave projects that pushed your imagination quite a bit.
A lot of times, a lot of the project was trying to figure out what the project was. Because you didn't really, it wasn't prescribed what you were doing, especially in your first couple of years of design.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of it was just trying to determine what the design problem was.
Well, that's rather metaphysical, isn't it?
It can be.
Changing direction just a little bit, what kind of boss was Lewis Clark?
I always enjoyed working for Lewis. He was usually in a good mood. He, when you got stuck, he could help you. And I'll just relate one story. One of the first projects I worked on was this factory. And I was having trouble with the courtyard at the factory. And I just was stuck. I didn't know what to do, and I was trying to do something that was just super duper. And we went out to the factory. It wasn't that far from Raleigh. And when we got there, he just went, well, you know, this courtyard is where people are going to eat their lunches that they bring from home, their paper bag lunches. And then it was like it was crystal clear how I needed to solve the design problem there. So he could explain in simple terms where you needed to be headed. And that was very helpful. I think that's one of his real strengths.
Insight into the mm-hmm. problem.
And then being able to not tell you what to do, but giving you guidance on how to think about it.
So what did you come up with for the courtyard?
Something very simple with very simple pavers that you could just put picnic tables in, and with nice planting around it, but nothing really or fancy, and no fancy paving patterns, just real basic.
Place to eat lunch.
Place to eat lunch. That was a decent setting.
Good. Mm-hmm. What made the associates' designs different from other landscape architects? While you were there, you had insight into that.
And I won't say that every landscape architect, other landscape architects have learned from Lewis, and so I think a lot of them tried to do, approach design in a way like he did. I mean, he taught a lot of us. But I always felt like, in addition to good design that's workable, that type of thing, that Lewis brought to it a broad range of view, where he didn't just pigeon in on the design solution, but he thought about big parameters. I think that's one thing. And another thing that we were encouraged to do at LCA was to stretch the client. And, you know, if the client came in and they wanted X, we could show them how to do the project better than they envisioned it. And often they were, yeah, I want to do it better than I thought I could. And that's something that is, not every firm does that, but Lewis often did that. He would try to make the project better than even the client envisioned it.
Did you have a lot of interior crit of your work? In other words, whenever you had a project going, did everybody get together and kind of crit on it?
It wasn't always formalized. Sometimes it was, but there was within that studio, it was open studio, and so everybody was looking over everybody's shoulder. And you know, you'd ask somebody, you know, what do you think about this? Or, you know, so there was a lot of interaction. And sometimes it would be more formalized, but a lot of times it was just very informal.
Do you remember some of the people you worked with?
Yeah. I worked with Sam Reynolds. Sam was there when I started, and Joel Mallon was there. Judd Newbern was there for a while, and then he left. And then we had some people that just kind of came and went. Dick Patton was there part-time the summer when I was working there. And Wayne McBride was there. So the office was fairly small when I was there.
And where was it located?
It was located off of Glenwood Avenue, right at the Beltline.
Oh, at the National Drive location?
Yeah, at the National Drive location.
Were there any other women working in the office at that time?
We had a student that came in part of the time and worked, and I cannot remember her name.
Was it Pat Hill by chance?
No, it wasn't Pat. Mm-hmm. But that was really it. Oh, one other person that worked there part-time was David Swanson.
Oh, yeah.
And he was a student at that time.
So quite a full house of alumni of NC State.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Was that a qualification that you had to be
from? No, not at all.
How did Clark's philosophy affect your own practice?
I think that idea of stretching the client is one that I try to do when, you know, with any client, whether it's a municipality or someone that wants a built landscape. This is the idea of education and just showing them how they can do something better than they envision it. I'd say that that's the main thing.
What's the one important thing to know about Lewis Clark?
The guy is brilliant. Very, very brilliant. He's not a shallow thinker. He's a deep thinker, and he doesn't preach, but he's a very thoughtful person, and he's very intelligent. And he brings a lot of experience to his this profession, but he also thinks about other things. I think that's the thing to realize, that he's very intelligent and he's a deep thinker. He's He doesn't just jump to conclusions.
What's the one important thing to know about Susan Suggs?
I really don't know. Well, I guess it's that, you know, professionally I really try my hardest and do the best I can.
I want to go back one for just a minute to one other, to your job history, because it's, I'm leaving out, not letting you tell the rest of the story. After you finished working at LCA, where did you go then?
I worked for myself a little bit, and then I jumped around a while. I don't think, where else did I work? I worked, I did it about a year at UNC Hospital doing renovation design. I worked for McNeely Associates for about a year. Then I went into public work. I worked for Durham for a while, and then I worked for the North Carolina Division of Community Assistance for quite a while. During this time, my husband and I had a business where we grew woody ornamentals. So we had that side of it too, which that was always, the green industry is just a wonderful industry. We did that, and then we also had a company that did irrigation control with the automation and hardware and software. So, and for the last year and a half, I've been in private practice with some public clients, some private clients.
And municipalities are one of your clients, right?
Municipalities are one of my clients.
What kind of things do you help the municipalities with?
Well, I've got, my background's kind of dual with landscape architecture and planning. I help them with regulations. Some of my other projects are pedestrian planning. I really enjoy that. And right now I'm doing quite a bit of parks and recreation planning, master planning for parks, that type of thing.
Well, that's all the questions I have for today. Do you have anything you'd like to add?
I just think, you know, when you're thinking about Lewis, I think it's important to realize that he brought to North Carolina what has become to be known as landscape architecture in North Carolina, that before that we really didn't have landscape architects here, and that his influence through not only his practice but his teaching is really broad. He influenced a lot of people that are my age and older. I really think that's part of his legacy, is what he brought to North Carolina, and then it spread because people move around.
Well, that's really nice of you to say. And I think that's our, we'll close out with that comment then.
Thank you.
Thank you.